Mr. Wilkinson, Reel 4. Can you describe to me the journey that you made on that trooper?
Well, we got on the ship at Port Glasgow and we went out to sea, went towards Iceland and then down towards Canada, America. They were avoiding the subs because there were subs all around the Atlantic. And we went down South Africa, up to, I forget the name of the port now, Tufik.
How big was the convoy that you were in? Was it a large one?
About 30, I think, 30 ships.
Where were you sleeping and eating on the ship?
Below decks all the time. It was quite full, the ship. But they were using as few ships for as many men as possible, so...
So we're quite crowded?
Yeah, we're quite crowded. But it was enjoyable, really, because there was a lot to see.
It must have been a great adventure. How did you feel about going abroad?
Oh, I was enjoying it. But a lot of them, they used to just play bingo, you know, the tombola as it was then.
And you're sleeping, were you sleeping on hammocks?
Some was on hammocks, some was in bunks.
We had bunks on the ship as well. Mm-hmm. And what were you sleeping on, do you recall?
Hammock.
How did you cope with it?
Well, you sharp learned, you had to as you fell out. You used to jump up and watch yourself to just plunk yourself evenly down.
And was it comfortable?
Oh yes, they were all like nice to sleep in, really. But anyway, I could sleep anyway.
Did you eat off the same deck?
Yes, yeah, the food was brought down, and when your bunks was down, the tables was up, and you just eat on the tables and trestles.
And what was the food like on board? Was it better than what you'd been used to on the land?
Food was, I always got what I wanted up till I went into action. Then sometimes you didn't get any food. But,
so it was, again, it was obviously adequate for your means?
I was quite happy. But then I probably had a different attitude to most people because I was a young lad doing a man's job. And I was proud of the fact, I think, that I was doing a man's job.
Were there duties to perform on the boat?
Very few. There were some, but you could help with the cleaning up. You would volunteer rather than be bored. And the sailors was quite good. I remember one occasion, I threw a 40-gallon drum over with a rope on it off the ship. I got played war with. And I got a meat hook out the galley, and tied it on, and the shark come and got this one, got the meat, got stuck, and it couldn't swim down, you see, because the 40-gallon drum was an empty one, you see. But I caught it, but when I looked down, I says, I'm not going down for that. But the sailors had to go down and chop it off. And
you got into trouble?
Yeah. Well, I was, but they just let it go because, it was wartime anyway.
Boat drill, did you have to go through that?
Yes, you go through that naturally because you might get put down by a U-boat.
Was there regular inspection of the decks?
Well, to keep you busy, there was regular inspections of everything. And they would try and get you... There was too many people on to give permanent jobs to, but even some of our lads went on the Lewis guns, you know, to
protect
us. Yeah.
What did you get a job? Did you volunteer?
No, I didn't get a full-time job. I used to volunteer for little bits and just to avoid boredom. But there was, as I say, there was too many men for to give all jobs to. But we used to just pass the time away.
Were there mixed units on the boat, like yourself, small drafts or a large unit going out?
Small drafts. As I say, there wasn't very many. I went on my own to Glasgow and I just joined them that was there. And I didn't know them. And I don't even know where they went to or what regiment they were. I just plodded on.
How did they keep you occupied in leisure terms on the boat, to keep you interested?
Well, they tried, as I say, give everybody a job, but the lads played cards or just whiled their time away.
And that was quite open, and they let them do it.
And you looked out, you went on, looked out, and you saw the flying fish and dolphins, sharks and whatever, which was very interesting anyway, as long as you weren't getting eaten.
And boxing competitions, were they put on?
No,
anything
I couldn't
of that
have
nature?
Them on the ship, no.
And no way of training and keeping exercises?
No, well, it was too packed.
Was there a canteen on the boat?
Oh, yes. You could get cigarettes and what have you.
But, and you were still not drinking?
No. I don't drink now.
Discipline on the boat, how did it keep you disciplined?
Well, if you did anything wrong or anything stupid, then the officers would have you up and they'd give you the chores to do, like washing the toilets out and washing the dishes up and things like that, and peeling taties.
Typical fatigues.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask you, were you seasick?
No. The only time I was seasick was when I was going up to special service. I went on the Glasgow ferry. And on the Glasgow ferry I was seasick. But I went to, what I called, I think it was, I went to some barracks or that. I nearly had it there. Anyway, it was the army barracks, and that night he bombed the Glasgow, and we went down to pick the dead out of the road to the ferry. We went and picked the dead up.
But, and was that your first experience of the dead?
But surprisingly, it didn't matter. I just went in, plotted in, and that was it. I didn't think anything of it. But anyway, I went from there, Maryhill Barracks. And I was there overnight while I was on my way to the camp.
To come back to the boat, did they keep you informed about where you were and how far you'd travelled and just where you're getting
If you wanted to, you could inquire yourself, but they didn't go around and they didn't give a detail, except when you were crossing the equator. Then there's something special about that.
So you sailed off from, as you say, right out in the Atlantic, then you came back in again towards Africa. I forgot to ask you, when you were at Brandsmouth and the very brief time you were there and you were sent on draft, had you been given any KD or
no
Middle East type clothing at all?
No, you're I still just in went for what I had.
So. Where was your first stop?
Stop was on the west of Africa, Freetown.
What are your memories of that?
Well, talking about the boys, anti-tank rifle. Well, there was alligators up beyond. The sharks used to come into the harbour. The lads used to dive for coins. And then you showed shark and they scramble out the water. But there was also alligators up in the river. We went in a small boat off the ship.
So you got ashore.
Mm-hmm. We carried on. We're just straight off the ship onto a boat. We went up river. We thought we'd kill one, at least I did. I thought we'd kill one of these alligators. Had a boy's 0.5 anti-tank rifle. And they've got a hell of a shot. That's in the front and boom. Had a go at one. I landed at the back of the boat. The back of the boat and nearly come out. But, Anyway, I got over that and went back to the...
Did you meet any of the civilians whilst you were in Freetown?
We didn't go into Freetown. We just stayed in the boat.
Just a journey around, you think?
Yeah, just relieve the monotony, I think.
Were you there long?
No. We just stopped there and get some supplies and whatever.
And you mentioned the bum boats coming around you and selling things.
Yeah.
Did you buy anything?
No. I never had a lot of money them days. But we used to throw pennies to them down. We used to dive down and get them. But I don't suppose we were treating them well at all, really. But just...
You're playing...
Daftness to us.
You're playing tricks on them.
Yeah.
What kind of things were you doing?
Well, you'd throw all sorts in. You'd make believe there were coins and whatnot, bits of silver paper and it wrapped up. And... they would try and get on the boat and you'd keep knocking them off into the water. And, but young and daft. But it was all right, but the thing is, it was hot and there was a lot of malaria, you see. And
How are you coping with the heat now on the boat?
Well, yeah, I did all right, but...
The decks must have been pretty smelly.
Well, not smelly, they walked them down quite often, but the trouble was that... We weren't used to the heat, and it takes a long time to acclimatise to it.
Did you get the opportunity of sleeping on deck at night?
Well, sometimes you could, if there was room for you. But everybody, when it was hot like that, you wanted to be on top. And you couldn't all do it.
You'd then sail south again to...
Went to Durban.
Tip of South Africa. What was your reception like in Durban?
Well, funny people, South Africans. They wanted to adopt us, you know. They didn't want us to go and fight. They wanted us to stay there because they were short of whites. And they wouldn't adopt me, like, I'm sure.
But you got an offer, did you?
Oh, yeah. But the first thing that greeted me, I went off, it greeted all the lads. It was, you got so many went off a day. And we went off, and as we were going off, we saw these blacks that were in prison. But they were using stock whips on them. And I couldn't stand it. So I put a guard down. And I thought, well, you're not going to do that. I took the stock whip off him, hit him, took the stock whip off him, and I gave him a lash with it. And then I was back to the boat because I didn't want to get caught, like. But I also saw, went in naturally to try and do a bit shopping. And there was a couple of women in, dark women. And that one of them had half her produce that she was after. And they made them go out till I got served. Now I noticed this and I thought, well, get in, pet, get served. I've got plenty of time. Don't worry about me, get in. But the whites wouldn't serve them. So I said to them, I says, what do you want, pet? And they told us what they wanted. And I said, right, make that up for them. And they'll pay for it. I said, make that up for them. I'm no better than them. I says, you are awful people. I says, the way you treat these blacks, I says, they're slaves to you. And I says, I'm not used to that. And anyway, I got them served. I walked out of the shop, got them served, and then I went back in. But I didn't like that at all. But they treat the blacks really badly.
And that would be a shock. You'd not seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of the South Africans take you around? And
they took us to the house. Actually, one got me to cut some fish for them. You know, they were having, they'd caught some fish and they were bony fish. Like, but they got me to gut fish because they didn't know how to gut it. And I cleaned the fish and left it ready for the table for them and then we ate it later on.
And this would be presumably a well-off South African white family.
Yeah, trying to get us to stop.
And that's when they tried to put the pressure on you, did they?
Yeah. Yes, they took us home, and as I say, they wanted to stay there. Why bother going up there? I said, we'll give you a good job here, and you'll have a good life. But they wanted whites, you see.
Did they show you around the city and the area?
Oh, yeah. Well, all you need to do, there was quite a number of Zulu, what do you call them, little hand carts that they used to run with.
Like rickshaw type.
Rickshaw. They used to take you where you wanted in a rickshaw. And it was really nice to... But he used to go where you liked, and it didn't cost very much. And he used to run and keep letting it go up in the air and swing his legs. But really enjoyable.
How long were you there?
Not very long, just about 5 days, I think.
And then you'd sail off up the Red Sea?
Yeah.
What are your memories of that journey?
The number of sharks that were there. Because they used to follow the ship. The sailors used to say that if somebody's going to die, the sharks will follow the ship till you put them in the sea. But I don't know whether that's true or not. But then people see a lot of things.
It would be particularly hot, was it, the Red Sea?
Oh yeah, it was hot, all right. But
and you still didn't have any lighter uniform. You still had your khaki.
Yeah. And when we got to call it Ismailia.
Yeah, you'd be taken off. Was it Port Suez or Tufik? What were your first impressions of Egypt?
It's a scruffy place, a bad place to live. But we went straight from there to towards Ismailia to the camp.
Did you have Christmas on board the ship, or was this before Christmas by the time you got to
Egypt? I can't remember that.
And I forgot to ask you, we did touch upon it actually, the crossing the line, of course, special ceremony.
Yeah, you get ducked.
Had you any choice, or you were just taken and ducked whether you wanted to or not?
Well, if you were there, you got ducked. If you were under the decks where you didn't... But they used to tell you about the ceremony anyway. Them that was done. It was just a lark, anyway.
You arrived in Ismailia, I think you said, was it?
Oh, yeah, the camp.
The camp. Mm. What was that camp like?
Well, it was just tents. And they had the marquees that slept 16 people. And you were sorted out for different drafts. So... I went from there up to Iraq.
Did you suffer from the jibby tummy?
No.
When you got there?
No. See, I never ate anything out of the villages. I never ate anything at all.
And how long would you be in the camp? It was a transit camp, wasn't it?
Yeah, about 5 days, I think. This is offhand, I don't know.
Too long. And then you moved. How did you move up to Iraq?
I got on a car, on a wagon. Went up, and I went up to, actually they'd marched a canny way, and I marched up, I went up there and marched the rest of the way with them. We were between the Tigris and the Euphrates.
Were you actually catching up to the battalion as it moved into its final stage?
Yes.
So you caught them up there. What are your memories of that journey? Because it's quite a unique journey.
Well, It wasn't as far as I'm concerned, although I killed a wog there.
This is on the way up from
Egypt
up to...
When we were in the transport. And what happened was, we were going just past Habania, and that's Lake Habania, and this bloke come out the desert, two bands, black bands on his hat, the village head. And he was on his horse, and he had one of these big von Dukes.
What's that?
A rifle. But the old-fashioned type, you know, I've seen all the pictures, that sort of thing. And he lifted it up and pointed it at me, and I put him down. I shot him. The first man I'd ever killed.
Did anything come of that?
No. But, well, he asked for it anyway.
So you set off from Egypt. Was it just the one truck that was going that way?
No, there was about three or four.
And what was the journey like? You crossed, obviously crossed the Suez Canal.
Well, I don't remember quite a lot of that. The journey was just a journey as far as I was concerned. I was looking forward to getting to my destination.
It would be over several days.
But, yeah.
Where were you sleeping and eating? And
well, you just stopped, you had your meals, and then you got back in. But one rather funny thing about it is that you didn't travel with a full load. You travelled with two in the front, four in the back, stand to attention. And to make believe, because they were seeking independence.
And this is into Iraq itself?
Yeah. And you stood to attention, four in the back, making them think that it was a full wagon, you see. And they'd been fighting. They'd knocked the one plane that they had down and killed a few wogs. And it was just after that that we went up. And actually, we weren't there to fight. We were there, sent us up there to make defences because they thought the Germans was going to come through there.
Did you stop at Habania, the airport field, when you go?
No, we stopped at Habania. You see, Lake Habania, we thought we'd stop there and have a swim, but you can't swim in it. No, you can't swim in it because it's thick. The water's thick, it's like sludge. And it's too tiring to swim against it. And I was a good swimmer, but I had to come back. I couldn't swim, do what I wanted to do. It's funny water, it's saline.
Were you following the pipeline up?
We followed the H line, which is the pipeline, so far. We went through Baghdad, through the town itself.
And was that where you stood to attention, because it was a hotbed of...
After that, when we got into the country, when we got near Habania and place, we stood to attention on the back of the...
As you came to towns or...
No, places? As we're going through the desert.
It must have been a long stand on the back of a truck for all those miles.
I know, but you held on to the canopies, you see. But,
do you remember the terrain changing? I mean, evidently Palestine's very lush, and then you're moving up into this desert type area.
Well, Iraq isn't lush at all, not where the way we went. It was all desert, you see, and it was stony. It did change. It was a little bit mountainous when we got to the end, when we got to Kirkuk and Mosul. Then it was a bit hilly. Mountain was there, so...
And you're moving in into the oil fields area?
Yeah, the oil fields, Kirkuk.
What are your memories of that? I mean, that must have been quite a sight.
Well, it was just pipe work, as far as we're concerned. I wasn't an oil man, not interested in it. But I was interested in the people, but I mean, you get strange things happen. Like I was on before, different views of people. Now, we had wogs, Western Oriental gentlemen, working either side of the road. And you had to keep the clans different, you see. You had to keep them apart. And these two had a bit row. And anyway, it so happened to be where I was. One of them gets his spear and hit him straight through the head and it landed in his chest. That's how sharp it was. Muff. And I was keen to get the work done. I says, get him up there, get him, hang him over the side. They wouldn't. Apparently their belief is that a man doesn't die till the sun goes down. He was as dead as a mark to me. But anyway, we had to leave him, and I sent them back to their work, like, because there was about a million of them, you know, working for digging.
So they were helping you dig the defences when you got there.
And we were looking after them there.
Just before we come to extend that a bit further, you caught up with the battalion, you said, when it was marching to its final camp, in effect.
Yeah, and I marched with them.
And were you attached to a particular company at that moment in time? We just joined them.
Just joined them. And when we got settled, when we got into Campton area, then I joined D Company. And then we just carried on. We were just all the same. Companies didn't matter.
And what was the camp area like that you, in effect, were living in?
Well, at first it was all right. It was hot, and there was a bit stuff about different plants, so forth. But while we were there, the weather changed, and we got snow, a lot of snow, and it bent the ropes of the tents down. And then the pythons, the snakes, came in, they joined you and went into bed.
So you were camped in tents, you say, in the middle of this rather unpleasant winter. How did you cope with these extremes of temperature?
Well, we did all right. You see, we had battle dress, you see, and it was quite all right. But some of the Indians, they were caught out in the snow, like Indian Service Corps, transporting stuff. A lot of them died.
They were there with you. Mm. And the sleeping conditions within the tent, how were they arranged?
Well, you just had your normal blankets and you had no palliasse and nothing like that.
And you were lying on the ground, were you?
Lying on the ground, yeah.
Just, and did that not get damp and wet in the winter?
Yeah, but it's surprising what you can stand when you're young.
Did you attempt to keep to get some heat into the tents? There was lot of crude oil around.
Well, you couldn't do anything with it, really. All we used to do was put extra clothing on to sleep in your clothes and put as many blankets as you could get a hold of on. But you couldn't have fires or anything like that. There's not the wood there to keep fires going. So
how did they manage to cook hot meals?
I don't know, to be honest. I can't remember ever.
But you did get hot meals.
Got hot meals at the cookhouse. So, really, there's not a lot to say about Iraq.
What time did your day start?
Oh, I couldn't remember that.
And then
it always starts early, but.
And then you said you were on this digging defences.
We weren't digging the defences.
No, the natives
were.
They came quite willingly. They were quite happy to do this work.
They were getting paid for it, so.
And you were basically supervising them?
Yeah, just telling them what to do.
What defences were you digging?
Trenches and so forth. It was trenches and tank traps and stuff like that. But mainly observation posts, trenches and.
Did you do any exercises and training yourselves?
Well, we walked wherever we wanted to go anyway. So, but there was nothing in Iraq really that. Then, I don't know what it's like now, but it was there was nothing really. It was all desert. The only thing that used to liven things up was when they come through with their sheep and goats.
And how did that liven things up?
Well, it'd give you something else to see. But
a very monotonous time up there.
Yeah, the monotony is bad, yeah.
What was the food like? You were well away out on a limb, weren't you?
Yeah, but we still got plenty of food.
Army rations again.
Yeah,
and presumably they came up from wherever on the road.
I don't know where they came, but we got them anyway. The officers in charge of the transport would be able to tell you more about that.
Did you get involved in any of these little hunting of gazelle which went on in that area, particularly with the officers?
No, I didn't.
You didn't get involved with that.
No, I had to go with a 303 at a jackal, that's all. But I never went on any expeditions and hunting and what have you.